Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Nathans.
And I'm Robert Winters.
Yes, in our little alcoves.
That's right.
In little
That's
Zoom right. rooms or whatever.
Exactly. So a few more items from last night, and really carrying over from prior meetings that were,
I guess you
could call it.
Well, green roofs, legal, and something else.
All right, so they passed the green roofs petition on I think it was a seven
no,
it was
six, a six, three. To, six three
yeah it was actually it's interesting so this was the, this was you know, about putting vegetated roofs on buildings over a certain number of square feet, with a lot of exemptions for municipal buildings, which was itself a point
which
of
is why Alana did not vote for
right
it.
So do as I say, not as I do. Anyway, so there was that, and I think there were some of the, like, MIT and Harvard were saying, like, look, we need to have a solar option here. You know, if you're asking us just to put a bunch of moss on the roof.
No, but Susan, Sarah Gallup, they already have a vegetative roof on something. I forget. But she was saying, we are doing certain things.
And they are doing certain things, but, you know, there is.
Give us some leeway,
You know, I mean, this is where I really part company with almost all of these city councilors, which is that I have never been all that strong a fan of absolute rigid
mandates. Have to do this. Right.
Yeah,
you have
rigid mandates are like are like budget earmarks, where you say this amount of money will be dedicated toward this. It leads to inefficiency and poor choices.
Yeah,
I think you have to give flexibility. I was kind of hoping with, as part of this whole process, that the planning board noted when they voted 8-1 against the green roofs petition, that the city's already has an ongoing study on how to sort of do it right. And in some respects, this was jumping the gun. And I kind of agree. I would have preferred more of like a rating system where you say, okay, how can I, you know, kind of like the way LEED standards work. Said you were actually given a kind of a menu of ways in which you can meet a standard, but you're not rigidly required to do things one way.
Did you listen to public comment? It was interesting. You had Jan Devereaux, who was given extra time because she's a city councilor, and then you had Henrietta Davis, who didn't need the extra time
and when you to over.
I know, two opposing kind of views.
Right, but however, if you actually listen to the rhetoric, the spoken rhetoric.
Yeah.
It was pretty clear that this was some orchestration.
Okay. All right.
They've been all saying the same things. Oh, I've been on the net zero task force, gonna do it, you know. So it was all sort of part of a coordinated campaign.
Is it a lot of public comment is anyway? I mean, I'm not objecting.
I know
to
it's
that.
Theater. It's theater.
I know, but I was glad to hear it.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, you haven't heard it before, and it was good to have some different
I don't know.
I mean,
but in the end, it was, you know, it needed six votes to pass, even, you know, and it got six votes.
Yeah.
So it's passed. So it's ordained, you know, with all the exemptions for affordable housing and municipal buildings.
Okay, so let me ask you, because that was confusing to me. I was trying to look at the changes. So they cannot just do a solar option.
You know, I have to go back and read that.
I know it's confusing. I mean, there's the biosolar, which some people say is not a real thing, or it is a real thing. I mean, they're always going to have people support whatever view you want, especially if you're in the business of doing stuff. But
You know, personally, the one part of it that I you know, I like to think long, you know, when you own a building, as I do, you think long term. It's like, okay, 30 years from now, what will I be worrying about, right? And you know, they say, oh, these are much lower maintenance. No, they actually talk very much, very actively about budgeting a certain amount of money for maintaining your green roof every year. You know, so it's an ongoing maintenance issue.
And also, if you're talking about growing things like for vegetables, it requires, from what I was looking at other places, a deeper, you can't just have the 3 or 4 inches or whatever you would need for just a just for a green roof. And also you mentioned this and I couldn't find it, accessibility. I mean, they talk about it being open space, but open space for people to come up in somebody's private building and go walking around?
You know, honestly, if I had a green roof, I would want to make it a usable green roof, you know, so that it was sort of a pleasant place to sit.
You know, the only one I've been up, and this was years ago, I think, is it Google? Somebody down in Kendall made something, and I went up there. There's some benches, and it wasn't kept up. It was, I don't know.
But then it was also
go there again.
There was the rooftop garden. It was part
maybe
of
that's
Kendall
the
Square.
One. Maybe
that's But also, if you go in over where the hotels are, University Park,
yeah,
they actually have kind of a mezzanine level grassy area, which is okay. a real attraction. You know, so
all right.
some of these things can actually be really nice places. You know, so
yeah, I think people want to do it. It's just that they don't want to be told you have to do it this way.
That's really the point. Yeah. Is that there? I think there are a lot of property owners who you give them some incentives to do it. They go, well, you know, we were thinking about it anyway, so. And just make it worth their while to do it, you know. But we are kind of in a very weird period right now where people are using the threat of emergency, climate emergency, this emergency.
Well, there is. I mean, there right, is, and other cities have done it. Now, I haven't really researched how effective those other things are, because like everything, you have to really look at details. Okay, did they do it? Was there any rescinding of certain things? I mean, the same thing with the commercial compost when you really looked at the details of that. But I don't know. I think... we'll see how it goes. I mean, they can always revisit it, right? Isn't that what it was said?
Yeah, I mean, down the road, you know, hopefully we'll see. So anyway, that was one thing that is now officially ordained. There were a couple of items, actually one item that was not made subject to a charter right or anything, but I think it's an interesting conversation. It seems to be coming back.
But
you know, so much attention when it comes to the housing issues have been focused on rental housing, affordable rentals and whatever. Right. But in multiple weeks in a row now, there have been references to affordable home ownership.
Right.
And you know, some public commentary and even some city mm-hmm. council commentary and some city council candidate commentary, I might add. Where they're saying
that?
Like, well,
Nicola Williams.
Nicola Williams, yeah. to be sure, but Charles Franklin actually, really was spot on. But he was pointing out that it said that you know, if you're basically going to limit equity so much that basically you can't build up any wealth at all, you know, by owning property, then all you really are glorified renters at that point.
And, but there's got to be some in between.
Because you don't want it to say, oh, I got a great deal courtesy of the city, now I'm going to become get a million bucks.
Tim Toomey mentioned the development. Was that the one I was talking about the other day? The one, the Cornelius Way that you said was?
I kind of had a hint that might have been
I think
what
it was
talking about. But the thing is, what people need to understand about, those were built on the old Boston Woven Hose site on Cardinal Madero, which
built
Portland
for,
Street.
To be affordable, right?
Right, but the thing is that the way people thought about property and the demand
back
for
then.
Property was very different.
True.
And the type of housing that was even being built, quite honestly, back in, you know, the 1960s or whenever those James Way, Michael Way, Cornelius Way were laid out. You know, so they feel like you're like on a suburban track.
Oh,
you know?
Unbelievable. Driveways, I mean, and single families.
Yeah. So it's very unusual, but at the time, the Cambridge Redevelopment Authority was really behind that, I believe. And they were also building a lot of housing, which I think is a mix of rental and home ownership opportunities out along Webster Ave. So if you go out Webster Ave, it's cut off, or it used to go straight through. And they put in these like nice little homes, you know?
So they did. So, they weren't income based then. They were just open to the market, or
I don't really know. But
that would make a big difference. I mean,
the attaching of strings, which we are seeing, is mm-hmm. sort of the routine now, was not always the routine. You know, it was sort of like we're just creating opportunities for people.
Okay, but we create opportunities if you're giving people money for down payments. Is it just then basically a gift? And then you could do with it, because I guess you have to look at it that way.
I think the way it's structured is not to my liking. You know, I actually would prefer that the city help with covering mortgages and second mortgages. And there are some of these like home bridge programs. I think that's actually part of their intention.
Yeah, but somebody said that the home bridge program is terrible. I think it was Nicola Williams. I don't know.
Well, there are a lot of people aren't buying into it because the strings are too much limitation. You know, in my view, if you regardless how you come to become a homeowner, whether it's through city help or whatever, and if you're there for a couple decades, at some point I'd say you should be free and clear. You know, it's yours now, and if you want to
a couple decades, then it's different than if you're told,
if you're buying, holding it for a couple of years, and then doubling your money. That would be wrong. Yes.
So maybe it should be based on longevity. How long do you keep this house?
Right.
And maybe the longer you keep it, the more you benefit.
Right. the limited equity model that we seem to use seems mm-hmm. to be, in terms of what are the limitations, it seems more like a vestige of the rent control era view of what allowable increases should be.
Right, but then the next person, though, they should be allowed to make some kind of profit, but then if you want to keep that with it affordable for the next person, you have to have some kind of control over it, Robert.
Right. Well, one of the city councilors actually said, well, yeah. we should put some sort of cap. But the thing is it shouldn't just be 2%. Okay. I mean, you know,
okay.
but if you say, you know.
Right. No, I agree with that.
I think it's just, I don't know what's right here. I just think either. That it is a topic ripe for review. Because yep. honestly, if you really believe that, you know, people from certain communities who did not previously have as much access to
they were denied loans or whatever.
Wealth,
right. Or just, you know, they were denied loans.
And now the city, its city yeah. policy is to continue to deny them wealth creation, you know, then that's, I think it's just, there's a conversation that needs to be had there. Honestly.
Okay. But I think that's really.
But yeah, I know, but this, you know, this city is still, it's so hardwired into rigid control of everything. And it's hard for me.
But, you know, a lot of the funding sources create that too. It's not just city. I mean, federal.
It's true.
It's very limited. You have to do this. They have to do
well,
that.
Well, and so we'll see what happens with this. You know, there was a big order that was made subject to the charter right that they moved along last, or they modified it a little bit.
But
having to do with a $500 million bond.
Affordable
home ownership opportunities. Right.
Oh, it's a bond. I didn't realize that.
Well, it would have to be, yeah.
I see.
And anyway, so I don't know what'll happen with that. I don't know what the response will be from the city manager, but you know, that'll be an interesting conversation to be sure. And hopefully, maybe if the council is pushing for intervention of that scale, maybe that will trigger some of the people in the Community Development Housing Division to actually rethink some things. Because honestly, just basically coughing up over $500,000 to create one unit to give to hand over is about as that is my definition of inefficiency. There are much, much better ways to actually facilitate housing ownership than simply just dropping $500,000 per unit, you know. So anyway, I hope there's a good conversation that grows out of that.
I would like go ahead. I thought the one about EV.
Yeah, that's relatively quick, but the thing, I like that, it's an interesting conversation, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm in the process of, as you know,
buying a car,
but
you'll probably have it for a long time.
Oh, in spite of what Patty Nolan said, which is
I had to look that up because I thought she said that there'd be no gas vehicles allowed in 2035.
No, just sold.
No,
yeah.
Sold. So that, you know, most people keep, I have my cars an average of 10 to 12 years. So there's going to be a lot of gas cars out there. They're not going to get rid of gas stations. Well,
I've had my last car for 20. So hopefully this next time.
You're not.
So I'm going to hopefully be still driving it right beyond the non-existence of gas stations.
Right.
We'll be creating our own gasoline.
No, I think it's going to be a long way before you don't, it won't go the way the phone booths.
No, I don't think, right. These things, these are not like rigid, you know.
But I mean, it is true that easy. I mean, first of all, the people, I don't think that, you know, they say, electric cars. Where is the electricity coming from? It's still coming from natural gas, a lot of it.
A lot of it is right now, but of course they want to change that. But
well, no, I mean, that is going to change and I'm all for it. It's just that let's not fool ourselves that.
But even if
any
you have
energy has its, you know,
right, but it's, you know, you're still going to need backup generation, certainly on
and you need a driveway at this point.
On a cloudy day, solar is diminished.
Well,
on a still day, wind is diminished.
And I read something about California because so many people with the EV that it actually, when they were having power problems, it was it was affecting the grid. But the point is, until most people have a driveway, or even with all the rebates, I would never get in a vehicle that I didn't know how, you know, I would be so anxious. I'm anxious anyway if I'm on a highway anyway in a car. And if you don't know,
you know,
and I know they have all these gas, you know, the electric, I'm just saying it's going to be a while before the average person embracing, you know, all this.
I put a link in my latest sort of snarky comments on the council meeting of a Phil Oakes song called My Kingdom.
I
for
saw
a car.
That. I went to that. Yeah.
Right. You know, you know, yeah. I have to say this. And I'm not trying to be mean about climate change.
By the way, a car still has to park somewhere, whether it's cars, electric or not.
Well, unless it's a autonomous vehicle.
Even go there. I haven't heard any mention of those.
But, you know, but there are, for many people across the country, and for some of us personally, there have been times where a car equals freedom. It does. It gives you
the
freedom.
As a single woman, as an independence, I'm sorry. To me, learning to drive and driving a car is like, I don't know.
There is a trend among people below a certain age to sort of relinquish those freedoms.
Right, you know? That's true. Or they don't need it because they're...
Well, and that's a different type of freedom too.
That's right.
You don't have to worry about the burden of home ownership or the burden of owning a vehicle or anything like that, right?
Right.
But, you know, for those of us who have... I've lived out of my vehicle for 50 straight days, you know, when I traveled across the country, you know? And, you know, you think about how that would change if, in fact, you're limited to go X number of miles, and then you had to stop, and it took, I don't know how long it takes to charge electric vehicles.
Well, until they get to a point where it's fast charge, you're right, because you have to sit there.
Yeah, but it
will happen. It's not going to happen in the next
There are physical limitations on to, you know, how fast you can charge anything, you know.
Well, there's fast charge, there's all level 3 chargers, whatever. Again, if you have your driveway and you can charge overnight, you're set for about 200 miles, so... But that's
right. So, you know, and I'm sure all of those city councilors with driveways,
they have,
will be passing laws that will be very beneficial to people with driveways or people living in condo complexes with reserved parking spaces. Those of us who park on the street.
The three, the counselors that all have their own homes with driveways.
Well, No, I always love it when, you know, people who actually have off-street parking argue about the need to, you know, why should you people be able to store your vehicles out on the road? So, well, maybe because I'm not as wealthy as you are, buddy, you know? So maybe I wasn't as wealthy when I bought my house.
Yeah,
and had
I live in the city where there's not many people up driveway.
Exactly. Anyway, I do think that's an interesting thing in terms of long-term planning.
You'll see. What
I imagine there will be a day when every parking garage will have hookups and all that, but they're going to start to figure out something for the schmoes like me who are out on the street if ever I should get an electric car. So,
first of all, you're never going to get an electric car. This, I think, is your last vehicle. You'll have it for another 14 years.
Oh, no.
But it's a Honda. Dreadful. It's a Honda. It has low mileage. I mean,
I know.
Forever.
I hope so. Yeah.
You know.
So anyway, that was one interesting thing. The other one, which I found it was interesting, yet another play from last summer was the defund the police crowd, right? So there was a thing about from a couple of councilors, most notably Sabrina Wheeler and Zondervan, you know, the revolutionaries, you know, basically want to overthrow, you know, get rid of all rifles and the Lenko Bearcat. And produce a plan, Mr. Police Commissioner, telling you how and when you're going to dispose of all of these things, of particular stuff. And really, is that right? Anyway, thankfully, cooler heads prevailed. There was an amended version submitted, by
Mark McGovern.
That basically said, well, come back with a plan, tell what your intentions are, and there was a little more respect for the police commissioner, well-deserved respect, I might add. I think our police commissioner intends to do intelligent things. And if we don't need heavy weaponry, we'll probably not have it very long. But, you know, I think that's still his call. So.
And as Mark brought up about the tear gas, they haven't used it in what, 50
years
or something?
50
years anyway. And like that whole thing about tear gas and all the people.
So much political theater, so little time.
Yeah,
it really is political theater. Now, one other item, which was, you know, I think it's been misinterpreted far too many ways over, had to do with a oft repeated desire from city councilors to have their own legal counsel.
Oh, I love that one. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess it was a late communication came back last week from the city solicitor pretty much saying, look, the charter says explicitly, yes. I mean, yes. honestly, it obviously says U.S. city councilors yes. can get to hire three people.
Yeah.
City manager, city yeah. auditor, city clerk. Now we fudge it a little bit by allowing you to have a little say-so in who your council aide is. So mm-hmm. if you want to have your campaign manager, you know, be your city-funded political aide, the manager is not going to say no, right? Or at least I don't believe the manager would dare say no. So, but technically you're still not hiring that aide. Mm-hmm. The manager is technically right. still hiring the aide, okay? But they actually want to have it be the case that if the city solicitor opines in a particular way, that in fact the city councilors could just vote to go and bring in their own lawyer.
But why does it have to be after the city solicitor gives an opinion? Why can't it be before? It could be something.
It could be before. It could be before. Absolutely could be before.
But you know, and they want, I guess the original thing said something about 2% of the budget or something. You're telling me the budget's $3 million?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that could, all right. And they brought up, I want to bring this up because I looked at it. Methuen, Fall River, and Newburyport. They have done this. Okay. Newburyport, 20,000 people population. They actually, their legal department was 100,000. It was reduced to 95,000. That's their whole legal department. So the counselors who get only $5,000 a year, they were reduced from something crazy. So yeah, maybe so they need have, some legal help.
So we,
you know?
So we have $80,000 full-time counselors working a part-time job with a city council aide, which were originally supposed to be, I might add, they were called research assistants.
I know. So now you've got, they're right, like $150,000 with salaries and they want more help.
Right. So let's not hire somebody who actually is capable of research. Let's just, you know, hire our campaign workers.
Let me just finish this. Methuen has 51,000 population, 9 counselors, strong mayor, right? That always makes a difference. The counselors there get 23,000. Fall River, 89,000, a lot of people. They get around $28,000 a year. So stop complaining about this.
I mean, cost of living is higher in a setting like Cambridge.
I understand that, but still.
So let's double those figures and whatever, right?
Even if you double them. There's still doesn't come up to 85,000.
I know. I am not.
I don't think Newburyport is cheap, but who knows?
Right.
I don't know.
Right. So anyway, so they want to have their own legal counsel, but it is I just like to think of like what if scenarios. Like what if you have 5 counselors who have a strident position on something, mm-hmm. and 4 counselors who have a strong opposition to it. According to this proposal, those 5 counselors could basically vote to go and hire a lawyer to support their position and bury those other 4, right? You know, and then
it's still not, it's not legally, I mean, even the city.
It's not binding anyway, it's just a legal opinion, right?
It's an opinion.
So ultimately the city council has the authority to pass ordinances regardless of what the city solicitor says.
Right.
You know, and regardless what the planning board says on zoning ordinances.
Apparently.
You know, they can do that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, hey, here's an idea. Why don't you, you know, if you really care so much about it, why don't 2 or 3 counselors pool your resources for the aides and hire a very
exactly.
skilled legal person?
Exactly. They have, I'm sorry. I know it's expensive to live here, but a lot of these they work full time at their jobs, but it's supposed to be a part time job.
It would be better if it was treated as such.
It really should be. I just think we have really created, the more it's more power, you just feel like,
Yes, the city councilors now are also, in my view, rather quietly and behind the scenes, sort of been consulting with this this center that is
Collins,
looking at charter review, Collins Center, basically letting their desires be known. So now there's a memo has come back and there will be soon a meeting. Where already it's taken as a given that they gave like 3 possible options, the third of which was essentially off the table, basically saying there seems to be consensus that the councilors want this, no members of the public involved at all, and they've decided we'd like to change the government in the following few ways, each of which gives us more power, more authority.
Wait, was this? I remember attending some kind of meeting with the Collins Center. Is this a report that has come out that they're...
There was the first memo, which basically just sort of said, well, here's the process that we might go through.
And they've already decided they like certain options or
They're basically offering just a few options about how they would go about it. They haven't laid out the specifics.
Isn't there another meeting coming up or something with this group or something?
But apparently the council is very warm to the idea of only have to run for re-election every 4 years rather than
two.
Oh,
is that where this is coming? Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh. And it's like, okay, so let's just leave. So in my view, our representatives represent 9 people at this point. They don't represent the rest of us in this city. They're basically just coming up with decisions and saying to the
Harvard grad students. I mean, I keep up because I just feel like they're like this whole constituency that's separate from the city.
Granted, some
of them may stay in the city, but a lot of them.
I'm getting a kick out of those Harvard kids. Every week it's like they've got their little hobby horse.
They're not kids. Graduate. You should look them up, see if they're voters. I'm sure they
relatively speaking. Believe me, I do.
I know you do. I love that you can do that when people public comment. When did they last vote? Yeah.
So anyway,
a last minute.
Yeah. I think the legal counsel thing, the manager will come back and probably say more or less what the city solicitor said in the first place, which will be that and municipal broadband will be yet another part of the warfare to explain why, in fact, we have to get rid of the planning charter and we got to get rid of this city manager and yada, yada.
I see.
It's just going to be crazy rhetoric from now on. So.
Oh, it's an election year.
Yeah. Anyway, there were a few other things, but I think that kind of covered most of the essentials.
All right, so we will be back for our second Tuesday.
We're back. We're not going anywhere.
We're not going anywhere. So have a good, take your mask off, walk outside. Don't have anybody around you. We did, yay!
Yay.
It was
fun. See you later.
We still have a few more seconds, but we will
go. A few more rich seconds here.
Rich seconds, goodbye. See you
then.
Bye.